You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
And I get the privilege also tonight to finish our sermon series. If you've been with us, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This sermon series has been awesome, right? Have you guys been convicted, challenged, encouraged? James chapter 2 says, don't be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, right? Don't be people that just hear, be bums on seats and sit here and then throughout the week not do anything about it. Man, be people that actually hear the word but actually allow it to transform your life. And so James chapter 2, jump on that. But before I jump into it, can I pray? Should we pray? So let's close our eyes. So Father, we thank you so much. We love you so much, Father. Father, will you speak to Sun Life Church tonight, Father? Will you speak to us, Father, and not just be people that hear the word, but will you transform our hearts, Father? Will you convict us, challenge us, and will we go into the week knowing the fact that you're still with us and you will challenge us, Father? In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. 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 Who's been watching FIFA World Cup? Come on, who's been staying up to watch the FIFA World Cup? Wow. I just realized, I was telling some of the youth this morning, we had a watch party on, last night, well, yesterday morning, technically, 2 a.m. And I realized and I counted how long I was up for. I was up for 26 hours straight, and it was crazy. And I was like, no way. And so if I go a bit, like, tired or whatever, it's because, man, I've been up really long. But we had a watch party, and it was very sad. I think it was still good to have community around you, but we lost. Australia lost. It's a sad day to be an Australian supporter, but a good day to be a Colombian supporter. Any Colombians in the house? Come on, wait. Let's go. And we don't support the French. No, I'm joking. But I'm going for England. England's my team, so we're going to win. Hey, there's a common theme in when you watch the World Cup, right, of performance, right? And I'm saying, like, when you get tackled, man, it's an Oscar-winning person that day. They go, oh, whatever. They hold their knee or whatever. They cry. Has anyone seen that? Has anyone got some good memes on that? Man, I saw one, and it's this photo right here. Geordie Bosch. This was a sad moment. But here with Australians, we are bad actors. Like, we just get up, we're like, go to Bunnings, get a bag of cement and harden up, right? We don't actually perform. We don't actually, when we get tackled, we don't go down and for 30 seconds holding our knee and really cry. We kind of get up. I feel like we've got a good team. But the thing is, with FIFA, it's better to be an actor or actor and make it look like it really hurt. So you can get a penalty, right? But here's the thing that actually saves football, all right? The VAR. Anyone know the VAR? Come on, the video assistant referee, or as I like to call it, a very annoying ref. Because it's depending what team you're kind of going for, right? In this game, it was a very annoying ref. The VAR never really called anything. And so because the referee on the field can't always tell the real at the real time whether it's fake, whether it's a foul, whether it's that it was a legal dive, whether there was actually real contact, if it was a very convincing performance. So they stop everything, they go to the screen, they examine it, they slow it down, they replay it in three different angles or however many angles, however long it takes, and they only then do they actually see if it's a real tackle or if it was fake. And that's what I really believe this chapter that we're going in, 2 Corinthians 13, is actually talking about. Because Paul's writing to a church that's got the exact same problem. But instead of dodgy penalty shouts and exaggeration, it's dodgy teachers. People who look like the real deal, who put on a convincing show, and the church could not tell who exactly had the real thing or who was actually fake. And Paul's answer isn't trust the ref first. Instantly, his answer is basically this. Check the replay. Examine it properly. Examine it first. Don't just go with what looks right on the surface. I believe that's exactly the tension Paul is dealing with in this chapter. And I would say even throughout the whole chapter of the whole book of 2 Corinthians. And a bit of context here, if you haven't, if you're just new to the sermon series, Paul's about to visit the church, especially for this chapter, about to visit the church for the third time. And he's writing this letter ahead that before his visit. And by this point, he's dealing with a real problem. A group of teachers have actually come in to the church of Corinth, calling themselves super apostles. And they're kind of confident, they're polished up, they're pretty impressive. They know how to work the room, they know how to make people laugh. Kind of sounds a little bit like me, but I ain't a super apostle. I'm confident. Whether I'm good, I don't know. They knew how to work the room, and the church was actually buying in. They were buying it. They were buying these super apostles. They were actually diving in and thinking that these guys are the real deal. And here's what the problem is. Here's what happened. The church started measuring who was legit by how good someone looked, their accreditations, and not by actually the truth. And so compared to these guys, the super apostles, if Paul stood next to them, Paul looked weak. Paul looked unimpressive. And the church actually put Paul on trial. So if you read in verse 3, it actually tells us that the church actually demanded proof that Christ was Christ even speaking through Paul. So the church actually put Paul on trial. Doesn't that sound familiar in our lives? Because we've got our own version of super apostles today. Maybe it's a voice on the phone that somehow has more influence over you and your conscience than your own conscience. Which is crazy, right? Social media has taken over like crazy. Even AI, I would say, where we may just rely on AI than even maybe talking to your own friend, or maybe rely on ask AI the same question that you should be asking an elder or a friend or a leader or a youth leader or anything. I think there was one time I should have asked my wife something, but I asked AI something. But it's crazy how it can slip in, right? Like it can slip in, right? That we think AI is the real deal, but we can actually ask the real deal, right? The answer. Okay. I've lost where I am. Okay. Maybe it's a boss whose approval you're chasing harder than you're chasing Jesus. And maybe it's something you're comparing yourself to that you can't shake. Someone else's family, someone else's relationship, someone else's success, someone else's life that looks actually better than yours from the outside. And Paul's response to all of this comes down to two simple things. And if you have your notes, write this down. Number one, he says, check yourself. We've got to examine ourselves. He told the church they've got to examine yourself. Instead of putting me on trial, you've got to examine yourself. And number two, it says, it's this. He says, connect yourself. We've got to connect ourselves. So let's look at the Bible in this chapter from verse 5. And my first point is check yourself. Verse 5 to 6. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. So check it out. See, what Paul does is that the church wanted proof from Paul that Christ was speaking through him. But Paul is a sneaky boy, and he actually flips it. He flips it, and he's like, hey, don't check me. Don't put me on trial. Why don't you check yourself? Why don't you look if Christ is actually living within you? Why don't you actually see if that Christ is actually speaking through you? Check yourself instead. And this isn't actually a casual challenge that he has, like a have a little think about your feelings kind of thing. This is a trial language. This is like real evidence, real weighing, real verdict. But the evidence Paul points them to isn't a resume, isn't a stage presence, isn't confidence. It's one question. Is Christ actually alive and active in your life? My question to you, church, is Christ actively alive in your life? Can you prove that? Have you checked yourself? And here's what's beautiful about what Paul does next. He says, I trust you'll discover that we have not failed the test. That's not Paul fishing for compliments. We understand that. He's saying if you genuinely examine yourself, the fact that if you genuinely examine yourself, you will actually find Christ is really in you. You'll discover something else at the same time. That the faith didn't come from nowhere. It came through the ministry that pointed you to Jesus in the first place. So Paul doesn't actually need to defend himself with more words. He just needs to let the Corinthians know that Christ is in them, that their faith is real. And so, church, my challenge is that if you haven't picked up the Bible this week, or spent time with God, or even spent time with the Lord, but you scrolled for 2 hours, you hung out with a friend, I want you to think about it real quick in this moment. Really quick. Which voice actually shaped you this week? What voice actually more shaped you this week? What actually guided you this week? Was it God? Was it the Word of God? Or was it your friend? I don't know. The married people, was it your wife? Then not coming to God first. I don't know. Was it your husband? I don't know. Have you actually checked yourself? To the parents, are you measuring your family, your kids, your marriage against someone else's highlights reel instead of actually checking your own household against Christ? And all the young adults in here, has a voice on the screen quietly become the standard you measure your worth against? And everyone in this room, when's the last time you actually tested yourself? Instead of just absorbing whatever was the loudest thing around you. Because here's the truth, you can't spot the counterfeit by comparing it to another counterfeit. So if you put two $50 notes, one's fake, one's real, you can't tell the difference unless you actually put it in the light and see a little watermark. You've got to hold it up to the real thing. And so going back to football, because we love football here, the VAR doesn't ask was that the more convincing dive than the last one? Doesn't ask that. Doesn't compare fouls against the others. It goes back to the one actual real question. Did this contact actually happen? Did they actually touch the person? And that's your job this week, Sun Life Church. You've got to stop comparing yourselves to the next person's highlight reel, or the next person's performance, or the next person's success. We have to go back to the real question. Is Christ actually alive and living in us? Are we guided by Christ, or are we guided by the people around us? Is Christ actually alive in you? This week, I want to give you one simple practice. Before you scroll, before you even let any other voices in your life speak to you during the day, ask one question, all right? Is this shaping me, or am I shaping my response to it with Christ? Is this shaping me, or am I responding to this with Christ? And that's one question. Every day, this week, ask that. Psalms 139, verse 23 to 24 says this, "Search me, God, and know my heart. See if there is any offensive way in me." And that's a prayer that I've been praying every day. I believe that if you start praying that, we get this conviction, man, like, God, I want you to shape me and not what the world wants to give me. And I really believe if we actively do it, if we do what James 2 says, not be people that hear the word, but actually allow it to transform and actually do it, man, I really believe that God wants to, like, transform, really guide us, really shut down and turn the volume down of the world and actually allow his voice to be louder in our lives. And so we need to check ourselves. We need to examine what's actually real in you, not what the loudest thing is around us. But here's the thing. Paul actually doesn't stop there in this chapter, because checking yourself was never actually meant to leave you alone with all your thoughts. It's actually meant to lead you somewhere. Checking yourself is actually meant to lead you somewhere, which leads me to my second point. We've got to connect ourselves. We've got to connect ourselves. From verse 11 to 14, it says this. "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet another with a holy kiss. I'm just going to pause right there. When I was reading this, greet one another with a holy kiss. Crazy, hey? Imagine if we practically did that, right? That's crazy. Imagine Phil welcome people and come in, hey, come give me a kiss kind of thing. Welcome day. It's crazy, right? But contextually, back in the day, that's what they used to do. That's how they used to greet each other. They used to kiss each other. And I would say probably the modern day kind of holy kiss that we do is a holy hug, right? Holy hug, holy fist punt, punch. But I that's just a side tangent, by the way. I was giving you guys an insight of my mind. I was just like, what the heck, Paul? What's happening here, mate? But hey, one thing I would say is that, man, let's give people some hugs. Give some people some high five. Don't be people that actually just hey and wave from the sideline. Like, get people, actually meet people. Really be like welcoming to people, especially here at Sun Life Church, man. If you call yourself, if this is home for you, man, we've got to be people that take responsibility and actually welcome people and love people and not just be people that wave high, but actually, you know, really greet them. Give them a hug. That's just my perspective. So we continue on. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Even after defending himself through this whole letter, look at what Paul closes his burden. His closing burden is actually is. Isn't believe me over the super apostles. That's not his response. It's not vindicate my name, like I'm good, I'm glorious, look at me. It's actually rejoice, be restored, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace. Paul's not actually chasing glory or vindication of his name. He's actually chasing a healthy church. He's actually chasing unity. He's actually wanting the church of Corinth to actually know what Jesus' plan for this church was. It's actually for us to actually be in unity. Be in unity. You know that moment before a penalty shootout, back to football, is this photo where the team gather and they huddle and they start chatting about, hey, who's going to be kicking? Who's going to go first? Who's going to do what? And maybe even talking about what the Egyptians said, looked at. They were looking at videos of how the goalie reacted to other games. How can we actually defeat this goalie? They come together as a team. And not as individuals. They come close, connected, in one unit, backing each other before the pressure hits. And I believe that's the picture that Paul's painting right now. Not a bunch of guys competing to look good individually, but a team that is connected for each other. You got to connect yourself, church. Sun Life Church, you got to connect yourself. Once you've done the hard yards of checking yourselves, checking what's real inside you, this is where it's supposed to lead us. Towards each other. Checking on in each other. Checking yourself isn't the finishing line. It's what makes real connection actually possible. Because you can't build genuine unity out of people who are still performing for you. Performing for each other. Where has checking yourself honestly actually been missing in your life? Have you checked yourself this morning? Have you checked yourself if Christ is alive in you? Not because you didn't want to, but because you have been isolating instead of connecting. Where's a relationship in your life right now that needs restoring? Not because you need to win the argument, but because unity actually matters in the church. Unity actually matters in your family. Unity actually matters in your friendship, in your church circles. More than being right. Be the one who initiates, not the one who waits. Paul says, strive for restoration. That's actually active. That's not passive. Someone has to go first. Sun Life Church, why don't we be people that actually go first and actually strive for restoration? Actually strive to live in peace. Pray for someone else before you pray for yourself this week. For young adults specifically, invite someone to sit with you who usually sits alone. That's connecting in its simplest form. Ephesians 4, 1 to 3 says this. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bonding of peace. Romans 12 says this. One body, many parts, each belonging to each other. And 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build each other up. Paul is actually encouraging the church to stay connected, to really live out unity, to actually live out what a healthy church is all about. And so I'm going to end it there, but hey, I would love you guys to stand up, and we're going to enter into a bit of a response. I know we did a response before, but I think this is appropriate. And here's what I want to land today, tonight. We've talked about checking yourself, being honest about what's really going in inside, whether Christ is actually living and alive in you right now. Not just what everyone around you is saying. And we've talked about connecting yourself. Because once you've done the honest work, you were never meant to carry it alone. And in a minute, we're going to go into a response. And hey, honestly, I really believe right now, before we sing, I think eyes closed, we need to check ourselves. Is Christ actually living inside of you? Is Christ actually guiding you? Or is the things of the world, the loud voices, social media, maybe influential people in your life, are they the people guiding you? Why don't we just come and center ourselves and actually come to the one and true God, the one that actually put us into this world, the one that actually gave us life, gave us hope, actually gave us freedom. Why don't we come to Him right now and have a time where we just pray? And hey, we're going to have some people up the front as well, and myself, if you want prayer during this response, and actually be like, God, I need you. I need you. I've been listening to the world. I need you right now. I believe that God will meet you. So let me pray and we'll jump into it. Father, we thank you so much. Father, we check ourselves right now. Father, if you are the living God inside of us that is guiding us, Father. Father, if the voices of the world is louder, Father, will you help us to really focus our minds, focus our lives towards you, Father. And Father, I really believe once we check ourselves, Father, it allows us and gives us the opportunity and strength to really connect ourselves to the wider body, to actually bring a healthy unity within the church, Father. And so, Father, right now, will you speak to everyone right now? Will you speak to your sons and daughters, Father? Will you let them know that you are still alive and living and you're still with them, Father, that you're using them, Father, you're working through them, Father? And Holy Spirit, will you do something in their lives, Father? Will this just not be sound and noise to them, Father, but will this be a transformation in their hearts, Father? Will they actually see and actually know that they are called for something better? In Jesus' name, amen.